you think life is simpler after you retire? For some, it's actually more complicated when facing issues about health, estate plans, probate, long-term care, and more. That's why attorney CPA Joe Cordell hosts Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors and an open forum for older adults with important questions about their future. Here's attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Welcome to another week of Elder Talk. And true to our word to you, our audience, our over 60 audience, you know, we try to identify the things that we know are of interest to you, we know that are important to you and are relevant to your lives. And Susan Arthur, who is my very capable producer, she especially is wonderful at identifying guests that will speak directly to those priorities and those concerns and needs. And this week, we want to talk about grandparenting. Now, I know that that not all of you are in this position currently, and some of you may never be. But we know that many of you, directly or indirectly, sooner or later, are going to be grandparents. And those who aren't formally that are informally that. So this show is really about ways to use that position in a way that will forever change lives, that will leave a legacy. And interestingly enough, there is our guest kind of owns this subject. I mean, I'm just impressed as I look at his website about the degree to which he has directed his attention and his efforts and his creativity and whatnot to thinking about grandparents' roles in their kids' lives. And while many speakers, I think, speak to this occasionally, I don't know of anyone who has taken on this subject in such a comprehensive and effective way as our guest. Why don't you introduce our guest, Susan?
Well, we are very happy today to have Larry Fowler, the founder of Legacy Coalition. Now, Larry has a vision for a national grandparenting ministry that was brought together by a team of family, children's, and youth ministry leaders. He has over 40 years experience of caring for the next generation as a youth pastor. He's been a missionary, international director for Awana Ministries, and executive director of training. Larry is a national speaker and workshop presenter and the author of books on children and family, including the Rock Solid series and his latest book, The Question Nobody Asks About Our Children. Welcome, Larry.
Well, it's great to be with you both.
Yeah, Larry, I have to tell you, this website is just very impressive. And you actually have all-day seminars directed specifically to grandparents on how to leave a legacy with their grandkids. Is that right?
We do. In fact, I just finished doing one in the St. Louis area. It would be nice to see there's one coming up. But yes, we just finished one there, and we are looking toward doing those all around the country.
That is great. So kind of tell our audience why you think this is important, what you do in this ministry.
Yeah, well, the reason is it begins with kind of my personal story. I was living in the Chicago area, part of the Awana organization, and one of the vice presidents there, when I just really felt convicted by a particular verse in the Bible, Deuteronomy 4:9, that says, teach your children and your children's children. And the word "and" really got me, because I'd always seen this thing of passing on faith as kind of a one-generation thing. You know, I pass it on to my kids, and then
right.
They pass it on to their kids, et cetera. And
we're taught that.
Like a relay race, kind of like a relay race in track and field, right?
Uh-huh, yes.
But that verse told me it was more than that, that I had a two-generation responsibility. And my wife and I were so struck by that that we went to the leadership of the organization and said, we got to change. And so we actually moved to Southern California for the specific reason of living close to our son and daughter-in-law as they were starting their family, and to just be additional influencers in their lives. It's not that they need our help, but we want to be there to fulfill what we saw Scripture had to say. So
yeah.
That's where it starts. Is what the Bible says.
Well, and I agree with you. It we all hear about the roles of parents, and we don't see the word grandparent in the Bible, so we think, well, gee, we must have no spiritual obligations after our kids. But of course, as you point out, I mean, it's obvious that those responsibilities go on, and you're in potentially such an influential position. Often, I guess grandparents have more time maybe than their kids, their children do, who may be deeply involved in careers, to spend some time during the day and maybe other times with the kids, and to take advantage of that opportunity. You have a topic that you lecture on. It's called the four types of grandparents. And you talk about grandparenting on purpose. Do you want to speak a little bit to that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you had said, you know, grandparenting isn't in the Bible. And you're right. However, one of the members of our team is a young guy. He's not even a grandparent yet. That his name is Dr. Josh Mulvihill. And he did some research on Christian grandparenting. As far as we know, it's the only research that's ever been done. And he started by looking at the Bible. And he found, I mean, the very first year, he read through the Bible cover to cover and listed every single verse that he could find that he thought related to grandparenting. And Joe, when he was done, he had 150 pages of notes. And so there are all sorts of things that relate to grandparenting, even though the word isn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
But grandparents have incredible potential to influence children. And doesn't mean we all need our potential, and sometimes things, you know, life gets in the way. But the potential is always there. We have potential almost like no other. In fact, we say often we're second only to parents.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
When it comes to faith issues, we often surpass the parents.
So now talk about grandparenting on purpose then and the four types of grandparents.
Okay. So grandparenting on purpose is how we would define the vision that we have for grandparents. We think that there are a lot of grandparents, of course, that love and dote on their grandkids, but we want to see grandparenting on purpose, and those are spelled out in the four types. So the first type of grandparent is a biblical grandparent, and by that we don't mean a saint. You know, we don't mean somebody that never does anything wrong. We just means somebody that sees their role as significant in passing on faith to the generations that follow them and is intentional about doing it. And the second type of grandparent is a cultural grandparent. You know, in our churches in America, we try to counteract culture with young people, but we don't often counteract culture with us, with our generation. And culture gives us some wrong messages, too. And one of the messages that's wrong that culture gives us is when you retire, it's time to go play. You know, spend your children's inheritance. And there are some messages that come that just aren't right, Charles.
And you're right. That's a fairly new phenomenon, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Within the last couple of generations.
Yeah.
And we don't say, hey, you know, listen to this. Listen to what you're saying. And compare it with what the Bible has to say enough. We're to invest in our grandkids. We certainly can enjoy, if we have some extra finances, we can enjoy those. But there's a different purpose for the later years of life. So there's a cultural grandparent that just primarily sees their role, a Christian grandparent would see their role as pray and play. In other words, they get it to pray for their grandkids. But beyond that, they don't think much more than going to their games and, you know, helping take care of them occasionally and loving on them and spoiling them and sugaring them up and sending them home.
Now, that is a great phrase. pray and play. That captures, I have to tell you, without mentioning names, many of the grandparents that I know who think that they are fulfilling, you know, their highest and best role by praying and sort of, you know, playing with and being with the grandkids. But there's not that intentional piece that you mentioned, is there?
No, and of course, those things are good things, you know, to help your son and daughter-in-law or daughter and son-in-law take care of the kids, or maybe you have a single adult child that has kids and you're helping out a lot.
Boy, there's lots of those, yeah.
But it's not the end. It's a means to the end. And the end that we desire as people of faith is to pass on our faith to future generations.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, of course, there's the grandparent that is a blocked grandparent. And by that I mean there's some barrier. Even if they hear the message of what the Bible says about passing on faith and they want to really bad, there's something that's in the way. And usually, it usually can be summarized in the word distance, but there's more than one kind of distance. Could be geographical distance, could be relational distance, or it could be spiritual distance. And all of those then become barriers to really being the influence that you want to be in your grandparents' lives. And grandparents need help figuring out how do they overcome those barriers. They're often left on their own, and we want to help them.
And let me ask you about a scenario that I suspect is increasingly common in recent years versus a generation ago. You know, we raise our children in our faith, and sometimes, though, our children will marry someone who may be outside the faith, and maybe our children wander outside the faith. But I know that more than one of the people in my church there's been a gulf between them and their children and in-laws over their Christian faith with the grandkids. So sometimes you will have a couple that will not want the grandparent to share their faith with the child. What do you do when you run into that friction? And often it originates through an in-law.
Yes. Well, it's really very, very common. I think that probably over half of Christian grandparents have at least one or more of their adult children that has become cool to faith, if not walked away from faith. And let me tell you about a lady that made a remark after I completed the seminar, a session of the seminar on this very topic. She stood up and she said, "So what do I do?" She said, my son has told me I can see my granddaughter or I can talk to my granddaughter about God, but I can never do both because the minute I mention God to my granddaughter, I'll never be allowed to see her again." Well, what do you do? You know, I mean, what would that grandma do? So many times the grandparents are left in just this dilemma where they don't know what to do and they just don't have any direction. So they give up. Often some of them might lean in too much, Joe. You know, they lean in and they push and they press.
Yeah, I've seen that. I have to tell you. The example I'm thinking of, and maybe some of our listeners can think of examples too, where the grandparent that I'm thinking of really did push a little hard, and knowing this person as I do, you know, I think that I know the intentions were wonderful, but I can imagine that you know, maybe there was a better way to do it, a gentler, more diplomatic way.
Well, we would encourage a couple things. Number one is we would encourage them to think through what does the role of grandparent mean? And we would tell people, okay, you're still parent now, but you must no longer parent verb when you're talking about your adult children, unless it's invited. You know, when we're the parent of the kids, we want to tell them. You know, if we think they're wrong, we're going to probably pass on our opinion to them.
And it's become a habit after 20 plus years,
exactly.
Right?
Well, exactly. I mean, after all, that's what we did when we were raising them.
Yeah.
And then they do something that's not so great when they're, or that we don't approve of when they're adults. We revert back to the very same thing.
Yeah.
We revert back to parenting, and it almost always is counterproductive.
Very good point. Yeah. You want to, though, share your wisdom. And you're making a distinction there, aren't you? There are ways to share your wisdom with your children without parenting them in their 40s.
Well, I think if we're talking about an adult child that has just really walked away from faith, it's important to look at Jesus and see, well, how did Jesus handle situations like that? How did he handle it with unbelievers? And I go to the verse, Joe, that is John 1:14, that says Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. And if we represent Jesus to our families, we have to remember we need to be full of grace and full of truth, 100% of both. The question is, what was Jesus' strategy with unbelievers? And in almost all cases, Jesus led with grace so that they would receive truth. And that's what parents have to do. If they have an adult child that has denied faith or has walked away or disinterested, they have to remember they need to represent Jesus, and they lead with grace, not with truth. Now, leading with truth means we want to tell them, you know, because we believe our opinions are true. So we want to just tell them the truth. We want to lead with truth. And that almost always doesn't work. We need to lead with grace first. And then restore the relationship to the point where they'll listen to truth.
So let's put this in maybe some practical terms. I mean, we're going to have the holidays coming up soon. And, you know, a lot of times those are emotional times. Do you change kind of who you are? I mean, do you pray before the meal if your adult child doesn't want that exposure for their kids? Do you not pray before the meal? Or those types of really practical questions that we have.
And hold that answer. This is the closest we come, Larry, to a cliffhanger on this show, is when Susan asked one of her wonderful questions, and I intervened to say we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors. Presented by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors. And now, attorney CPA, Joe Cordell.
Okay, we're back with our guest, Larry Fowler, the expert on grandparenting. Grandparenting so that you leave that legacy with your grandchildren that for which there's so much potential in our role as grandparents. Now, Susan, before we went into the break, had asked a very important question, a very practical question about the holidays. Do you want to go ahead and answer that question, Larry?
Well, yeah, and my answer is it depends. That probably is not the answer you were looking for, but it does. It's not just cut and dry that you do one thing or the other, but I have a question that will lead to an answer, a more specific answer. And that is, what is the relationship like? What is the relationship like in the family? Is it close? Is there tension? If there's tension, then the first thing to do would be to say, what could we do to reduce the tension? Hmm. And you know, our testimony, our stand for God is not going to be permanently marred if we say one time, well, we're gonna honor our son-in-law, and we're in his house maybe, and we're not going to insist on a prayer or a time of Thanksgiving. There are other ways to do it. So the first thing is we've got to restore the relationship.
Yeah.
Because if the relationship is not there, then we really have little opportunity for influence.
Yeah, you're right. And that seems to is so often what happens is the relationship is just terminated. Mm-hmm. And the grandparent, while unhappy with that in many ways, still feels that, gee, well, I was only speaking the truth, as you were saying, that distinction between grace and truth. And that they felt that, you know, they're completely in the right and completely kind of the victim here. But you're suggesting maybe if they had approached this in a way that they emphasized the grace, then they would have had the opportunity for the truth later.
Yeah, so the question, exactly. So what does truth look like, or what does grace look like? Grace looks like showing an interest in the other person's interest. Grace looks like listening. Grace sometimes looks like shutting up.
And do you have to do that?
Being quiet. That often is an approach of grace.
Yeah, and that's hard to do.
I had one mom. She was struggling with her son-in-law, and she had this very issue. And she was all the time trying to tell him what to do. And we talked about this issue of just being quiet as a way of showing grace. And about 2 weeks after our seminar, she called me, sent me an email, I guess it was, and said, I just want to tell you what happened. She said, this young man's been my son-in-law for 10 years. And she said, all the time, he'd call about something, and and not want to talk to me very long. She said, this time I decided I would listen and not offer an opinion right away. And she said, an hour and a half later, he said to me, so what do you think I ought to do? And she said it was almost miraculous because for 10 years he hadn't wanted to listen to her. And in one time she shut up and she listened instead. And the conversation went on and on and on. And then he comes and says, well, what do you think I ought to do? And she had that then had the chance to share her perception of truth.
Larry, this is such great advice. I have two daughters, incidentally, both who are in college. And so I haven't gotten to the point where I have a guy in their lives. But I suspect and that time's coming. And I know it must be difficult to not dispense that advice. But we're discussing this in the context of maximizing your role, utilizing your role potentially in your grandchildren's lives. And as you point out, the doorway to that relationship with those grandkids starts with the way you treat your children and this new person who's come into your child's life that has so much influence over mm-hmm. them. And I imagine it's hard to get used to the fact that this person has more influence than you.
Yes, yes.
Well, and I think we need to be willing to change. I mean, it's so easy for us to say, well, I want my kids to change and I want them to do things differently. But maybe we're the one that needs to change, just like that mom needed to learn to be quiet or to learn how to parent her adult children. And that's just a whole new ballgame.
Well, you're so right. You know, when I teach a seminar on this, I have one session that I often title it, but they won't let me. Because that's a phrase that people mm-hmm. come up to me with.
Yeah.
But they won't let me. You're saying all the stuff about being an influence, but they won't let me. And they put all the responsibility and blame on the kids. And so we start with this exercise. I make them list their name, their spouse's name, the name of each of their kids. And then I say, now, circle the name of the person you can change. And, of course, the only name that should be circled is their own name, right?
We can't change our spouse either.
No, can't even say spouse.
I'm still working on that.
We can really only change ourselves. And so if we're powerless really to change another person, then we look at how can we change so that we can be instruments of change in the hands of God to bring about a change. Because God and the other person are the only ones that can change them.
Well, now, Larry, do you see a pattern? I know that this can happen, of course, regardless of whether you have a son or daughter, but I tend to think of a stereotype of conflicts often between the daughter-in-law and maybe the mother-in-law more than perhaps with the son-in-law and the father. Do you see that more?
I think that's probably the case. I don't know that there's ever been any research done on that, but I do. I am of a pretty strong opinion that the daughter or the daughter-in-law, in other words, the mom of the children, is absolutely the gatekeeper to the relationship with the grandkids, more than the dad is. The mom is. Boy,
But you know that this isn't politically correct, this point you just made.
Well, I just think it's pretty true. Yeah. You know, that mother tiger comes out, and if she feels like her kids are threatened, she's going to come out. She's going to do whatever is necessary to protect them.
And so you think often then the daughter-in-law feels that the mom is sort of invading her home.
If the mother-in-law, the grandma, is using approaches that are still parenting. And, you know, a great example on TV is Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right.
That Lady Marie on there violates this principle over and over and over and over and over again. And she always gets away with it on the TV show, but in real life, we don't get away with it.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. We got to stop parenting. We got to start thinking about what really is the role of a grandparent. And the grandparent is to be an influencer through a deep, trusting relationship. And so we have to, you know, if there are grandmas out there that are having conflicts with their daughters or daughters-in-law, They need to step back and say, how am I approaching this? And could I build a relationship? Could I do the things to strengthen the relationship, be a support to that mom, be a help to her? And as a relationship gets better, God will open up the doors of opportunity for influence, which is what we really want.
So then I would assume from what you've said so far then that during this period of time in which, you know, there's not a particularly good relationship maybe with the parents, maybe it's because of past behaviors, but there's not much opportunity, let's assume, to directly share faith with the children because of the parents' positions. In those cases, though, you would still say you interact with the children as you can and you be somewhat respectful, I'm hearing you say,
yes,
perhaps of the limitations and trying to choose to, in a very graceful way, influence the child without the sort of direct teaching that you might otherwise do.
Well, I think it's a parallel thought to the economic model of supply and demand. Something that is extremely rare is extremely valuable because it's rare. Something that's really common is cheap because it's really common, you know.
Yeah.
And so if you have a grandchild that one time sees a grandparent maybe praying before a meal, where that never happens at home, or one time sees a grandparent reading the Bible, or reads maybe even in a will and testament at the end, just a statement as to their faith. You never know the impact that one thing can happen, especially if the relationship is deep. If there is a loving relationship, you know, one time can have a deep, deep impact. And maybe we want to tell them all the time, but we can't. We can develop the relationship where even those one times can have an impact.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see where there are, even, you know, under fairly strict conditions, there's still incredible opportunities. And your point is, almost without exception, it's better to be with the children and work within those limitations than to take a firm stand on principle and be shut out entirely from the grandkids.
Oh, absolutely so. Absolutely so.
That's a lesson for all the listeners, myself too, to make a note of. I'm afraid that, and I can see this could happen with me too, it could become a position of principle or even pride. And probably, you know, often when we're stamping our feet and saying it's principle, really maybe beneath that is a layer of pride where, you know, we're going to stick with our position. We're not going to yield to these demands of someone else. But your point just makes a whole lot of sense.
Well, I think one of the stories in Scripture that is so powerful about this was when the group of men brought a woman caught in adultery to Jesus. And you remember, she was caught in the very act. So there was no question she was wrong. She was absolutely dead wrong, you know, in what she was doing. And these men wanted Jesus to pronounce truth over this woman. You may remember the story where they came to her and said, she was caught in the act. The law says she should be stoned. What do you say? So they're wanting Jesus to pronounce truth. And Jesus instead led with grace. And the very first thing that he did was he got down and started writing in the sand. And the Bible doesn't say what he wrote. I wondered if he wrote some names of women that those guys had been messing around with. I don't know. But in any case, they left. And finally, it's just Jesus and the woman standing there. And he still offers grace to her. He said, so where are your accusers? She said, they're all gone. He said, then neither do I condemn you. All of that story, all the way up to that point, was leading with grace. And then at the very end, he says to her, now go and sin no more. And he spoke truth.
Yeah.
It would be our temptation often to lead with truth. So we'd say, what are you doing? How could you have done this? How could you have hurt our family? How could you have destroyed this? If we were a parent of a child caught in adultery, we would say all of those things. It's interesting that Jesus led with truth to bring her to the point where she would be willing to hear, or led with grace so she would be willing to hear truth.
Yeah, such wisdom there. So we're going to have to take a break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about how you would suggest, in sort of a a checklist or some specific points that people could make notes of as to how they can influence their grandchildren going forward, to take advantage of the opportunities that they have with their grandparents, to sort of have the impact that you're describing, with their grandchildren, to have the impact that you're describing.
I'd love to do that.
Okay, back in a moment.
You're listening to Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors. Presented by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors. And now, attorney CPA, Joe Cordell.
We're back with our guest, Larry Fowler, the expert on maximizing your role as a grandparent. So before we went into the break, we talked about your providing a list of practical steps that our listeners can listen to, can take to maximize their role in their grandkids' lives.
Well, let me go through some. They actually come out of research that Dr. Mulvihill that I mentioned earlier in the show, that he found in interviewing Christian grandparents. So what were the most common best practices of Christian grandparents? So let me go through some of those, and we can converse with them as I go through.
Okay.
The first one was to ask questions. One of the practices of grandparents is intentionally asking questions. And these are questions that are used to generate discussion, create spiritual dialogue. I'm very fortunate in I have two kids, a daughter that lives in Colorado Springs and a son out here in California where I live. But our daughter has older kids. They are teenagers and now young adults. And they already, as a family, had the practice of Friday nights was a night where they would stay at the table and they would play this game called Stump the Parents. And the kids were challenged to come up with questions that were so tough that the parents couldn't answer them. And then they would save all the real difficult ones for when we came to visit. And then the tough ones were we played a game called Stump the Grandparents. And the last time we did this, Joe, we actually had a conversation that started at 7:30 and ended at 11:30 at night, sitting around the table with teenage grandkids, talking about things of faith and so forth. And it was all about being very intentional in asking questions and creating dialogue.
So ask questions. All right. That makes a whole lot of sense. Number two, I hope our audience, I hope our listeners are making a list of these items, but go ahead, Larry.
Number two is doing a blessing. Blessing is the opposite of prayer. Prayer is communicating to God on behalf of ourselves or others, but blessing is communicating to others on behalf of God. And that's most clearly seen in Leviticus in the Old Testament where, in the book of Numbers where the priests in the nation of Israel were told to bless the nation of Israel with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And that's been practiced in the Jewish faith all these centuries in between, and they still do it on a regular basis. And I don't know why we've lost that as Christians. We need to recapture that. But this is speaking, favor. It's speaking God's favor on our grandkids. And that's one of the things that grandparents practice. Now, the way that my wife and I do that, we have little grandsons that we take care of. They're the ones that live close. So we take care of them twice a week. We have them Monday and Thursday afternoons. And they come over. They're 2, 4, and 6. And the 2 and 4-year-olds take naps. So when they come over, my wife will say, Micah, would you like to have Grandpa bless you before you take your nap? And he'd go, uh-huh. And so what I do is I touch him on the head. I look him in the eyes, give him a great big smile, and then I repeat the blessing that I just quoted to you. And I say, okay, now go have your nap. Blessings can sometimes be prescripted like that, but then sometimes they can be customized too, where you are speaking words of spiritual authority, but words of God's favor upon your grandchildren. And it's one of the most fun practices of grandparenting that I've learned through the years.
So, and I want to to be a little clear on the distinction. So if I were to say, may God bless you and keep you, a phrase that's commonly used, is that a prayer or a blessing?
Well, it can be a prayer or a blessing, depending on what we say. I mean, we can say, Lord, will you bless this person? And we're addressing our remarks to God, right?
Right.
But as grandparents, we're in a position of spiritual authority, and we can say to our grandchildren, we're speaking to them rather than to God. So that's a distinction. Who are we talking to?
Okay.
If we're talking to them, then we say, the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yeah, okay,
you know,
I see.
We can take anything that we would, Joe, we can take anything we pray for our grandkids. For example, if you pray that you want them to have wisdom in their first year of college, you can simply say, you can put your hands on your grandson and say to him, Joey, whatever his name is, Joey, may God give you wisdom during this first year of college. So you might pray for him,
okay,
but when you're with him, you know, so you're pronouncing it on him. And that's a practice that I believe God uses to change their heart.
Huh, that's very interesting. Okay, and I'm going to try to let you get through this list before we have to do another show to cover it. So what's the next item?
Okay, the next one is intentional meals. Hmm. Intentional meals is number three, and that's where things like praying before you eat and mm-hmm. that is those things come in. Basically, grandparents have everybody sit down and say, look, we're all going to put our cell phones down. The meal is meant to be enjoyable. That's number one. Grandparents need to try everything they can do to make the meal enjoyable for everybody. So mealtime becomes happy, enjoyable time.
So cell phones,
time of conversation.
And that's often, you know, a thing you get pushback from, even from my kids. But your point's well taken that, you know, when you have cell phones, even when people just look away to look down to see a text that will light up on their screen, it still is a distraction.
Well, it is. And so I think this is something that in most relationships, if we approach it right, we can make it happen. You know, if we don't scold them,
yeah.
Instead we do it we do a preemptive strike and say, look, we really want to enjoy each other's conversation, so let's all put our cell phones down, and that let's just make that a rule for when we have meals together.
Yeah,
not every meal, but that's a practice. So that's number three.
Okay,
and meals can be, I mean, they don't have to be the traditional big meal that I think of going to grandma's house. I mean, it could be, can it be McDonald's? If your grandkid loves McDonald's, you can go to McDonald's and have a conversation around a happy meal, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the size of the meal isn't the point. The point is that there is intentionality during the meal to bring the family close, have conversations together, and strengthen relationships.
Okay, so that's number three. What else can grandparents do?
Well, grandparents ought to know this one. Number four is to pray. But just a couple things. You know, pray regularly for them. Pray earnestly for them. The way that we do that is my wife and I, we happen to have seven grandkids, so we assign a day of the week to each one, and we pray hard for that grandchild on that day. That helps us to be regular, and it helps them to know, they all know what their day is. So they know when grandpa and grandma are praying for them. We tell them often we're praying for them, and then we ask for prayer requests. And, of course, when you ask for prayer requests from grandkids, you have to interpret them. So when they say, you know, help me get an A on my test on Friday, pray God to help me get an A, then we say, well, how about if we pray that God will give you this the self-discipline that you need to study hard enough so you can get an A, you know. But prayer is number four.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Prayer number five is teaching. Where we really teach our grandkids, and this is more than just spiritual things, but this is life skills, it's morals, it's truth, it's grandpa taking grandson out and going fishing, teaching them how to fish. It's helping him make a birdhouse out of wood. It's grandma, you know, teaching in the kitchen. So, but there's a very real intentionality in passing on life skills and so forth to grandkids. So yeah. Very, very important part. Sometimes that becomes the doorway to spiritual conversations too.
Yeah, I can see that.
By itself, it's a good thing. So.
Yeah, and it's good quality time too.
What's relationship building? I mean, whether you're talking spiritual things or just entering their world, you see how they think and you see what they're, maybe you get to tell about the family recipe and why you make chicken this particular way or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would add, I think that one of the things is that this naturally happens with this is that what it means is more individual time with each grandchild. One of the couples there in the St. Louis area that came to the conference, to the seminar I did a few weeks ago, had gone through our study. And he said, oh my, he said, it just dramatically changed the way that I grandparent. He said, now what I do is on Saturday mornings, I take one grandchild out and I spend individual time with each grandchild. Hmm. And individual time is absolutely critical also. And it comes often through this teaching point.
Yeah. And sometimes it is, I'm thinking about a bit of the other extreme, perhaps, where there are some of our listeners who may be in the position of having, inherited another generation of children to raise, meaning that the parents may be gone a lot and they ask the grandparents to care for the kids a lot. I can think of some examples where some, and these are good people, these are good grandparents, but they feel a little put upon in a way where the children kind of use them for full-time daycare. And so I guess that's the opposite extreme of the grandparent who's not getting access and the other who may have a little more access than they would have hoped for. What would you say encouraging to them?
Well, I would say I'm aware of a lot of grandparents in that situation too, and it's tough. I know I get tired so much faster than I did when I was a young dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these three little grandsons that we have just wear us out when they come over. We love seeing their headlights when they come, and we love seeing the taillights. And so, first of all, I identify with them, and if that happens really often, then those grandparents are probably really tired. They're just worn out. And I can't tell them a lot about the situation of life, but I would encourage them to see this as an opportunity rather than as a burden. Because, they are in a position to have a huge impact on those grandkids. If they're taking care of them that much, they can really influence their lives a lot.
Yeah, and they have to, amidst that sometimes frustration and fatigue, they have to, you know, be reminded of the things you've said throughout this show, the important opportunity that they have, because it's, you know, they probably are a little less patient, in the examples I'm thinking of at least, they're a little less patient than they might have been 25 years ago. And as you said, they're a little more tired, and it's easy to lose sight of the fact that this is really a wonderful opportunity that they have.
Exactly.
And they need you to remind them of that. What materials, and tell our audience where they can go to get additional information and materials about the things you've taught for grandparents.
Well, if they haven't discovered, let me tell you about a couple other websites, and I'll talk about ours. If they haven't discovered grandparents.com, they ought to find that. That's not a spiritual site, but it's a wonderful site with all sorts of practical comments and ideas for grandparents.
Grandparents.com.
And then Christian Grandparenting Network is another wonderful site. The founder of that site is Kevin Harper. He lives in Colorado Springs, wonderful authority on grandparenting. They have lots of blogs and articles, and they are all from a Christian perspective. There are very few resources out there on grandparents, which is the reason we formed our organization. We want to fix that. and change that. So we have some on ours. We actually have four products, and with four products, we are the largest supplier of Christian materials on grandparenting on the internet. How about that?
Yeah, I said coming into the show, I don't know of another ministry that's dedicated to equipping grandparents.
No, there are single resources on different sites, but they're usually tucked in among everything else. And we have this Dr. Mullahill's book of his research. It is a research book, but oh my, is it full of insight. And then we have a DVD series for use in Bible studies and small groups that's been received real well. And then we have a resource kit of just 10 items around Christian grandparenting that are available. But, you know, what I'd really like to help your listeners to know about, I'd like them to tell them about our national conference.
Yeah, do that.
Is it time to do that?
Mm-hmm.
We are having the second annual national conference on Christian grandparenting in the Dallas area, November 2nd through 4th. And we're calling it the Legacy Grandparenting Summit. It's going to be incredible. Tony Evans is the keynote speaker the first night. He's an amazing, amazing speaker. Our music is going to be by the Gettys and by Steve Green and Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Names.
Scott Wesley Brown. Stephen Curtis Chapman's written a book on that. So Scott Wesley Brown. Great Christian singers, legends in Christian music, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're really many of the authorities on Christian grandparenting are all going to be there teaching breakouts and workshops, and it's going to be an amazing, amazing time. We'd love to have your listeners consider coming down for that.
Over how many days is it?
It's a 3-day conference, November 2nd through 4th.
And if they want more information, we can go to legacycoalition.com.
Yes, and there's a conference. There's a bar across the top that leads them. They click on that, and it'll take them right to the conference.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. And is there a charge for that?
Yes, it's $199. But there's a place right at the beginning there they can insert a discount code, and if they'll put in radio, just the word radio, then they'll get $10 off that and $189.
Okay. Well, wonderful information, and we'll have to have you back to talk further about this. I mean, the issue of grandparenting, you know, with this demography that we have now, we have so many people that are hitting their 60s, 70s, and 80s in numbers like we've never seen before as a percentage of the population.
Yes.
And
yep.
And many of these have more time than they've had historically. Mm-hmm. And so, as you point out, this time should be used productively. And that's a theme of this show as well, is to help people as they're aging to use their time more productively. And that includes not just engaging in productive ministries outside their home, but still recognizing there's a role to play inside their family home, so to speak, to include their grandkids. So, marvelous message, and we look forward to having you back on, Larry. I hope we can get onto your schedule maybe in the next 6 months.
Well, I'd love to do that. I appreciate the conversational style and the opportunity to share my passion.
Yeah, and you do have a passion. And no doubt you have a mission. So I hope that you continue to flourish. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Well, what a wonderful guest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another week with Elder Talk. We look forward to seeing you here again next week. Take care.
You've been listening to Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors with attorney CPA Joe Cordell. Listen again next Saturday for another edition of Elder Talk, sponsored by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors. For more information, visit eldercarelaw.com. That's eldercarelaw.com. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.